Does everybody see each other? Oh, okay, the video recording has started. Okay, today we're going to do Perek Hey in the Mesillas Yesharim. Bebeir Mafsidi HaZehirus V'Rachaka Mehem. We've been talking about Zehirus, right? The concept of being careful and being cognizant and being thoughtful about your life. We talked about how to acquire that, right? That was last week. We talked about how to define it, the importance of taking a cheshbon nefesh, etc., etc. And now we're going to talk about three things that keep a person from this very crucial midah of thinking about your life, and three things that prevent a person from thinking about their lives. That's basically the gist of this perek. Again, another always a shout out to those supporting the shiur on Patreon.com. Okay, let's dive into it. If you're in the green book, it's on page Lamed Aleph. Hine mafsidi amida hazos umarchika hem shlosha. As classic Ramchal, he divides it into three different categories. Right? There are three things, he says, that cause a person not to be zohir, not to be careful, not to be thoughtful, not to, you know, kind of think about their lives. And the three of them are progressively more difficult to navigate. So the first one is, as he writes, Hatipul Vatir de Haolamis, is some being very, very involved and busy in the physical world. Hasheni, the second one is Haschok Valatzon, joking, and as he translates poorly in the English, frivolity and levity and derision. Basically means making a joke of everything and not taking anything seriously. And Shlishi, and the third one, is HaChevre HaRa, which is bad chevre, which you guys could probably tell me about better than I can tell you, but we're going to hear the Ramchal talk about it himself. And so let's go one by one. The first one is in being overly involved in this world. HaTipul VeHatirda, Satirda, meaning someone who's overly focused and, as they call, shakua, stuck in this physical world. Now, we've mentioned this before. This is a trick of the Yetzer Hara. To make a person so busy with other things that they can't think, right? And he writes over here, the Ramchal writes, in the second line, in the second paragraph, Hinei machshavosav asuros bezikei hamasa. That doesn't mean he's having machshavos asuros. It doesn't mean he's having forbidden thoughts. It means that his thoughts are chained, right? They are asur. They're like bebeis asur, and like in jail. Right? A person's thoughts are in jail. They're basically, he's stuck thinking about, the physical world, right? If you've ever known someone who's running a business and works 20 hours a day, they are nuts, right? Their brain is stuck in their job and their work or whatever. Not that, again, we'll talk about it. You should definitely work, right? That's not what we're going to say. But someone who's completely obsessed and totally thinking about physical things in this world, it's like he's captive in chains. And he can't think. Again, the goal here is to think and to throw out the anchor and think about his life, right? Think about your life. If a person is totally stuck all the time running from here to that, the other thing, trying to figure out things in this physical world, that doesn't allow a person to think straight about what a Kosh Baruch Hu could want for us. And again, I've mentioned that I learned Mesillas Yesharim with my Rebbe, with David Miller. So he tells a story that he read once, right? There's he read in the Columbia University something or other. Right? He had known the story beforehand, and he had this little extra add-on at the end, which I'll tell you right now. He found in this Columbia newspaper. Story goes that you guys know who Howard Schultz is? Founder of Starbucks. You guys know what Starbucks is, right? So basically, Howard Schultz is Jewish, Holocaust survivor. Or maybe not. I take it back. I'm not sure. Anyway, so he and a bunch of very wealthy Jewish philanthropists visited Rav Nachman Tzvi Finkel in the Mir. Right, he was a shiva in the Mir about 10 years ago. He was nifter about 10 years ago. So they went to meet Rav Nachman Tzvi Finkel, and he asked them what the lesson was from what we could learn from the Holocaust. So they all muttered, some secular American slogan like "Nothing again, never again." Right, that actually means nothing because nobody actually means it. And when push comes to shove, unfortunately, nobody actually cares. But so they said, never again, etc., etc. And Rav Nachman Tzvi said, that's not the lesson. He said, the lesson that you guys should learn from the Holocaust is that what happened during the Holocaust, that wealthy people, right, were stripped of everything, right, sent on a train to a camp, and he had no possessions, right, freezing cold, and they were given one blanket for five people. And there people had a choice, that you could take the blanket and sleep, probably, right? Or you could keep passing it along. And what happened in the bunkers and in the barracks is that everybody kept on passing it along. He said, that's a lesson. He said, you guys go back to America and keep passing the blanket. As he basically gave them mussar about their, not Tzvi Finkel, gave them mussar about what they should do with their money. Right? That's a story that apparently, and I never heard that story, but apparently that was a Yadua story. That's a story that was known. Right? And then apparently Howard Schultz made this speech, or he made a whole speech that how he founded Starbucks on those principles that he learned from the rabbi. Apparently he made this speech at a big college somewhere. Anyway, the article continues and adds on that Howard Schultz actually went back to Avnatson Tzvi Finkel and said that he was so impressed that, you know, he had a meeting with all these really filthy, rich Jewish businessmen, and he could have asked them for money, and instead of asking them, hitting them, buttering them up and being nice to them and treating them like, you know, they were malchim malachim, he gave them mussar about how they should spend their money, and he was very impressed. And he said how Rav Finkel used to have to fundraise as well for the mirror, right, a lot of money. So he asked him how much money he has to raise for the next year. So Rav Tzvi told him $17 million. So Howard Schultz pulled out a blank check and said, any amount of money you want, up to $17 million, here's a pen. So, you know, again, Rav Tzvi had Parkinson's. Right? So the story goes that he was able to shake out, right, and write the number 450 on the check. 450. So Howard Schultz looks at it and said, what's 450? So Rav Tzvi said, when you leave this building, make a left, go down this alley, down the stairs, make a right. And there's a guy there who sells tefillin. He says, you want to do some good for the world? I don't need your $17 million. I'll get it somewhere else. Right? But you, go buy yourself a pair of tefillin and put on a pair of tefillin every single day. That'll do much more for the world than giving me $17 million. I'll get my money. Right? That's someone who has his head on straight. Right? Tzvi Finkel, he wasn't shakua, even though he had to raise a tremendous amount of money to keep the mirror going. I'd imagine it was tremendous pressure. He wasn't stressed. Right, he wasn't worried. Right, he was focused on helping Jews do mitzvos. Right, what would a Kosh Baruch Hu want? He was not torud. He was not stuck in the physical world. Okay, so but tachlis, a person still has to work. Right? A person does still have to work. That's for sure. That's not what we're saying at all. So again, still in the second paragraph, if you're on page Lamed Aleph, right, the issue here is one of balance. Right, Chazal for sure know that a person has to work, a person has to make a parnasa. We live in a physical world, right? And so if you're following along in the Sefer, Hachamim Birosam Alei Mashalom Birosam Ze Amru, right? Perkei Avos Have Memayit Beisik VeOsik BaTorah, right? Memayit Beisik, make your parnasa less and learn Torah. Meaning that he says it here. I'm just paraphrasing that the parnasa is important. It's a person has to make a parnasa. That's for sure true, but it's an issue of balance. Right, again, Kosh Baruch Hu told us, right, again, you have to work 9 to 5, Beseder, that's how the world works. But you should also have Kvius, what they call the Kvo Itim LaTorah. Just like you have a 9 to 5, right, you should also have a certain set amount of time where you go sit and learn. Where you go, it doesn't have to be 3 hours a day. It would be wonderful if it was 3 hours a day, but it could be less. Right, again, a person has to have a focus, right? As he keeps on going, he quotes, right, again, we keep on talking about this ladder that Pinchas Ben Yair set up, and that's what he based the Sefer on. Pinchas Ben Yair, we started with Torah. Torah leads you to Zahirus, right? Without the Torah is the Iker, right? The Torah is the basis, right? You don't come to being careful about your life if you don't have the Torah. You know, he says, Lo Amaretz Chassid, that a person, unfortunately, a person can't be frum without the Torah, right? A person who's not Maretz, who doesn't know any Torah, he doesn't know any halachos, he can't be a Chassid. Right, without ways with a capital W, right, W-A-Z-E, without the map, without the ladder, you don't get anywhere. Right, even with all the best intentions, you're still not going to become a tzaddik. Right, you could meditate or learn Kabbalah, right, or read English literature and become a very wonderful, sensitive person. But you're not going to know how to use it if you don't have the foundation and the roadmap. So a person needs to have the time to defer parnasa. He has to have time to learn. A person, my Rebbe used to rail, not Rav Miller, but my Rebbe used to rail on people. You know, you go to the bris, right? A bris in the morning. You ever go to a bris in the morning? You guys go to brisim yet? Maybe it's a shame. You go to brisim soon. I have a bris tomorrow. And what time is a bris in New York? It's at 7 in the morning because everybody's got to get to work. So the bris is at 7 in the morning. All the working people take a bagel. And who's left at the bris? All the yeshiva guys. Bumming around, eating food, hanging out, having a good time. My Rebbe used to go nuts. He used to be like, what? That's less important than a parnasa. You have morning seder 9 o'clock, and this guy has got to be at work at 9 o'clock, and you're still at the bris at 9:30. So, yes, yeah, so that's to give at least an equal importance, right, to the parnasa and to the learning. right? And that's crucial. You have to have this foundation of learning something, as we'll explain in a second. It may not necessarily matter exactly what you're learning, but it has to be learning something. So he continues just flipping the page on page Lamed Beis. A fascinating Gemara in Kiddushin, and this is basically the foundation for what he's saying. He's saying the Gemara says, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlan, that Akash Baruch Hu created the Yetzirah, and he created the Torah as an antidote. Right? And he says, Vinei Pashadhu, this is simple. This is simple, it's not math, but it's simple almost science. It's simple facts. That he says, just like if there's an illness and there's an antidote, literally, just like he starts talking about a refuah over here, you guys can see it. I don't want to read the whole paragraph. He says, if a person has a refuah, right, if Akash Baruch Hu created penicillin for strep, so he created Torah for the Yetzirah. Right? This is the manufacturer's instructions. Right? If you put a Band-Aid on your stomach because your stomach is upset, that's an argument I had with Eitan 2 days ago, that's not going to help. Right? It's not going to... What about, okay, you can have your Band-Aid, but the stomach's not going to get any better. So Akash Baruch Hu told Chazal that the antidote for the Yetzirah is the Torah, period. If you think you could deal with the Yetzirah differently, so that's simply, you're simply wrong, and that literally is the hill you're going to die on. Right? And he continues, if you're on page Lamed Beis, right? Again, what's it comparable to? It's like a guy goes to a doctor, right? Gives him a medicine, and the guy's like, I'm going to take something else. Like, you're a fool, right? You never studied medicine. Why do you know better? So this is a pet peeve of mine, by the way, when it comes to people and following like rabbis and stuff. Not me, but I mean, like, you know, like whenever you learn something in Sem or whatever in life, and you're like, I don't think that's right. I'm not down. This rabbi's out of touch. Like we will blindly follow any doctor, right? Any doctor. Even we have no idea if he got all C pluses on his medical exam. He has a plaque. It says doctor on the wall. Fine. We go to him. He gives us the medicine. No questions asked. But when we have a Shaila and the rabbi gives us an answer we don't really love, Like, it's hilarious to me how people will follow doctors blindly and not rabbis. Okay. Anyway, that's my pet peeve. That's an aside. We can put that aside. But anyway, so as he continues, he says it's exactly the same thing. Now, we have the Yetzirah. Akash Baruch Hu created the Torah. Learning Torah or being involved in Torah mitzvos is the antidote. So if you want to get to Sahiras, if you want to become careful, if you want to be thoughtful about your life, there's no other way, right? You can't, do chesed. Chesed is wonderful, but that's not going to bring you to Zahirus. And he says, it's similar as we mentioned before, right? We said, if you remember, we had, if I'm on the bottom of page Lama Beis, if you're following along, if you remember, we had this, he compared this world to nighttime, to darkness, to walking in darkness. And he said there are two things that happen, right, when a person is in the dark. Two mistakes a person makes when they're at night, when they're in their dark. Right. The first thing is they don't see things. So you could be walking and there'd be a pitfall right in front of you. You don't see it. But the second thing, and this is what we're talking about here, is that you see things and think they're different. Right? You mistake a lamppost for a person or whatever. So here as well, he's saying that a person, because he's stuck in the physical world, which is darkness, right, he thinks that he'll be able to get out of it through something else, through some other pursuit. But really, it's the wrong, you're taking the wrong medicine. Right? It's not helping. When you have to kind of adjust and trying to make sure you're able to adjust your mindset and your thinking before you kind of become so shakua, because you become so stuck in the evil and it doesn't even occur to you, right, that you need to think about. So when a person learns Torah, again, we said before, it doesn't matter what you're learning. It could be Chumash, it could be Mesilas Yesharim, it could be Korbanos, it could be Taros, it could be the most random halacha in the world. Then a person is anchored in Torah. Right? Then you have the motivation, right, to improve, and you'll have that. Even if you haven't had it for a long time, it still will be reawakened. That's the etzah that everybody gives. Is a person goes back and they're not feeling it, and Rabbi, I'm not feeling it. So the first thing I would imagine most rabbis will tell you, or most teachers will tell you, just learn a little bit. Just learn a little bit. That reawakens the koach, right, to be motivated and stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's how it is. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And again, once you have that, so then, right, so, just on the last line on page Lamed Beis, so may Elav Yischadesh Bo Es Orus Sheviyeh El Derech HaTov. This will literally reawaken, right, the motivation to move in the right direction. right? And he said, you'll come to the Cheshbon HaNefesh, right, on page Lamed Gimel at the end of the first paragraph, right? Once you have that point in time where you're learning Torah every single day, you have that little bit of spirituality injected into your veins, so then you'll come to Cheshbon HaNefesh, right? You'll come to a point where, whoa, I want to be spiritually sound, let's analyze my life, and then you'll come to this concept of Zehirus, right, which we're trying to get to. So bottom line, to combat this first deterrent, right, that a person is too busy, I can never think about spirituality, I'm stuck, I'm doing this, I'm busy with that, slow down, make sure you have a kvias item, make sure you set up a set time in your day to learn, right, and then through that, right, you'll find out that you're not actually as busy as you thought, and you'll be able to set aside some other time, right, to do some cheshbon hanefesh, to think about your life, maybe even for a minute or two. And once you have that, that's already, now you've already cracked the code. Now you've already opened the door, right? You got your foot in the door, and that puts you on your path to Zehirus. That puts you on the path of becoming, quote unquote, less busy and finding the time in your day to focus and kind of think about your life. And now, says Ramchal, this is ironically the easiest pitfall to avoid, the easiest to fix. Because right, a person sits and blocks off some time to learn, and that's the antidote. Right? You think you're so busy, right? So take 5 minutes before you go to bed, the middle of your day, whatever it is. That will awaken the awareness and make you realize you're not as busy as you think. Right? The learning kind of knocks away the darkness. Right? It leads you to cheshbon nefesh and zehirus. The reason it is not as negative as the next two is because being busy is technically neutral. Right, again, it's not necessarily negative. Right, a person is allowed to work hard at their parnasa, at their job, and be, or you know, or other things, or school, or whatever they're involved in. Right, these things are not necessarily usur. Right, if people were, I would suggest that you should work hard to make a parnasa. I don't think Chazal wanted you to just lounge around. But the next two things are negative. And leitzanus, joking around, and when we have to define what that is, because it's obviously ivdus Hashem b'simcha, but joking around, that is something that is very, very negative. This word, we're not talking about ivdus Hashem b'simcha, simcha zachayim. A person should feel a tremendous amount of simcha and joy and having a purpose in life. Right, this is much more talking about when a person's in a different frame of mind. Everything is a joke, right? Nothing is serious, and you're not able to focus and have the necessary gravity, which being careful and having zeros and thinking about your life requires. Right, if you're going to sit down and take a cheshbon hanefesh and everything is a joke to you, so you're not going to be serious about it. Again, we're not saying you should be sad and in the dumps all day, but it's important, right, to have a certain level of seriousness and understand what's going on. So the Ramchal writes that someone who is just joking all the time, someone who's not taking his life seriously at all, it's as if he's drowning in a huge ocean that's very hard to swim out of. Right? He compares it to being drunk. Well, when a person is drunk, he can't think. Right? Good luck trying to convince someone who's drunk to do something. It's almost impossible. Right? So that's the same idea. When a person is just making joke after joke after joke, right? That prevents a person from thinking straight. Just to give a couple of really old examples, some of them from Rav Miller and some of them from me. Unfortunately, and I say unfortunately for many reasons, but one of the greatest comedians of all time is Bill Cosby. Now, that's much more unfortunate nowadays because he is a criminal and a bum and a lowlife. But we didn't always know that. So before that, right, about 30, 40 years ago, he had a tremendous bit about Noach. I don't know if anybody's ever heard it. He has a whole joke and routine. Again, this is literally maybe the 1980s. And then Kosh Baruch Hu comes to Noach and says, all right, Noach, build an ark. Noach says, great. What's an ark? Et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it justice. But anyway, this whole bit, as Rav Miller said, when he heard it for the first time, it took his entire ability to be influenced by the Noach story, took it in and destroyed it. Why? Because the Noach story, if you think about it, Kosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world because people weren't nice to each other. That's probably oversimplifying it, but he literally destroyed the world, right? And wrote it into the Torah. And all we can think of is this joke, this bit, this whole little thing. When we read the Noach story, it should shake us, right? Kosh Baruch Hu literally destroyed, killed everyone. Right? And we should take serious Musar and realize how serious Ben al-Khavero, Hamas, stealing, etc., the breakdown of society. But if you have this comedy skit in the back of your head, right, that's the levity, that's the jokingness, that's the leitzanus we're talking about. Right? When you can't take something seriously because you have it's all jokes going on. Right? Whenever you have these shows about war and stuff like that, not like the serious ones, but like I don't know, I can't think of a good one. Saving Private Ryan is the first one that comes to mind, but that's a really old movie. Anyway, when you have like these movies that joke about war, so it takes away the serious of the loss of life. War is terrible, right? We don't have a gravity in the sense of war because we watch all these movies and it's not a big deal, right? That takes away. That's what we're talking about here. But that the jokes and the lack of seriousness take away our ability to be sensitive. I remember when I was in high school, there was a guy who came to Rambam and he said this whole speech about people who ran away from the Holocaust and got on a boat. And it was literally an hour powerful, this guy's story, that guy's story. They got in a boat to come to Eretz Yisrael, etc. And his last line was like, yeah, and then the boat sank. And I remember personally just blurting out, like, I got in so much trouble for it. But I thought he was joking. Like, he literally told us this hour powerful story, serious story, and then just ended it with like, yeah, and then the boat sank, and then you make it to Israel. And I was like, what? I thought it was hilarious. I thought he was kidding. So that obviously he was furious and that destroyed his whole speech. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about torpedoing any type of positive, powerful message through one joke, right? Again, when someone makes that in that story and that thing, that joke at the end or the quote unquote joke at the end, which I thought it was a joke, it wasn't, but that destroyed the entire speech. All right. So that's what we're talking about over here. So, says just in page Lamed Gimel at the end, the paragraph starting with Chachamim, Zichron LeBracha, Chazal say a crazy thing in Maseches Avos. It sounds crazy, but when you think about it, it actually is very real. It says Schok v'kados rosh margilim es adam le'erva, that this type of joking around brings a person to arayos, to inappropriate relationships. Now, arayos at face value is like familial arayos, like brother, father, mother, sister, like really weird stuff. Right? How in the world does a couple of jokes lead a person to that type of serious type of averas? So he explains that basically when a person doesn't take these things seriously, once the seriousness and the gravity of the avera is gone, sooner or later, a person might dare approach something they would never have touched months ago. Right? All the mechitzos, all the walls get broken down. Right, when we stop taking things seriously. And I would just add, it's not only the jokes, but when we view and see these things as acceptable behavior, right, based on the media that we consume, and so that decreases our sensitivities, and we start thinking that things are not so crazy. Someone told me that, again, not to be, I guess to might as well be graphic about it, apparently Game of Thrones features a brother-sister relationship. Now, that's insane. But once it's moved into the realm of acceptable, or maybe it was shock value, I don't know what the point of it is, but once it's on TV and once it's consumed on a regular basis, slowly it doesn't become as crazy. Slowly it becomes more acceptable. And again, and he says, Kol Kach Lama, just on page Lama Dalet, how does this work? Right, because Zihirus is dependent on thinking and being careful and considering your actions and the results of your actions. Tzchok, laughing and joking, removes us from that thought process. Right? It's a removal from this world. It's almost like an entrance into a fantasy world where nothing is serious. Right? You can't have Yiras Hashem, right? Again, Yiras Hashem not necessarily even being fear of heaven, but being just awe of heaven, right? If you're not thinking about it, if nothing is serious to you. And he says, he's just explaining, he's a mashal, he says that leitzanos, this joking attitude has the power that even if a person is involved in Musar, right, one joke kind of knocks out everything. He says it's like, I don't love this mashal, this is the first mashal I don't really love, but he says it's like back in the day when people would go out to war, they would put oil on their shields. And so the swords would bounce right off. So he says that the oil on the shields is the joke. He's like, that is the not taking things seriously. It just pushes away everything. So, and he says over here that this was what happened to Yeshayo. Yeshayo was pre-Chorban, right? Yeshayo, a Navi, was a Navi that prophesied before the Chorban. He tried to get the people to do tshuva, and every time they tried to give Musar, people started joking around with him. And that's what he says at the end of this second paragraph from page Lamed Daled, right? The pasuk says, "V'ata al tisloch tzu pen yechzu Musar." don't ridicule me, don't make fun of me, right? Because if you do, then he literally just translated here, your suffering will be intensified. Now, he doesn't mean that Hashem is going to punish them for the jokes. But what does he mean? As the Ramchal explains, that basically a person who is unable to take things seriously, right, he has no ability to do tshuva. So the only thing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can do to snap him out of it is terrible yisurim, is all of these horrible punishments and I guess pain and physical, you know, anguish. I guess maybe that'll snap him out of it. But nothing else, right? A person who is joking around and doing all this type of stuff, right? Again, he gets quotes a couple of Mamari Chazal over here, Gemara Avodah Zarah, right? It ends up in annihilation, right? Again, just because basically people leave themselves no other way to do tshuva because they're not taking things seriously. So the late someone who's joking around, right? He, unfortunately, as Chazal explained, right, just gets pummeled because he has no other way to get the message. I said that's step number two. Step number three, or not step number three, but issue number three, which impacts us, and this is, again, it's not a chiddush, but you guys are aware of it, but it's important to mention as well, is chevre, as he writes, the people you hang out with, right? Again, you guys know, humanity are social creatures, right? People care very much what they think, what people say about them, right? And people care much more about what people think than what Akash Baruch Hu thinks, right? And you speak to a kid and it's his wife Shabbaton and they want to get better and they want to get frum, but what can they do? Right? Their friends are going out here, friends are going out there. Same thing with you guys. I'm sure you guys have experienced it going back from Sem. Friends are going here, friends are going there. Right? Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, people are influenced by their friends. So what, again, peer pressure, you guys are aware of it. So what do you do? So how does that work? Right? How do you avoid this? Right? So says the Ramchal, right? Shlomo Malach already wrote, this is a Mishlei, Im Shonim Al Tizarev. Do not join together, do not mingle with people who are different. People who are different. Now, what do we have to define this? Let's read a little further. Now, even though, right, he says, even though a person, it is true, that the Lo'olam Tehei Daitam Shal Adam Urevis in Abrios, right, that what that means is that people are, right, social creatures, and that's fine. Right, that's a person has to be social, and then we have we flourish when we're surrounded by good people. The bottom line is, right, if you're friends with fools, right, you'll become a fool, right? Even if a person sees the light, right, you flip out, whatever the terminology is, right? Unfortunately, we have all done this. We still will become lax, and we will transgress, and we will do averos just to avoid ridicule from our friends. Or to gain their approval, etc., etc. Now, he does say, right, that fascinating, that a person is a social creature, right? But you should be with the brios, but only if they're doing ma'isa adam, right? Only creations that are people, not ma'isa behema, right? Choose your chevre wisely, right? Don't hang out with behemas, right? As Shlomo says, right? Make sure you stay away from the fools, right? Don't even get into the same situation as them. Again, we're going to define in a second, but he keeps on quoting more Mamari Chazal over here, and just one of them I want to highlight, which is very important. The first pasuk of Tehillim. I'm not sure if you've ever paid attention to it. I'm on page Lamed Hay, four lines up. First line of Tehillim. Fascinating. Right? David HaMelech says, "Asherei ish asher lo halach betzatz rishayim, uvederech hatayim lo amad, uvemoshav leitzim lo yashav." What does that mean? I'm just going to translate from the English because it's easier, and then we'll talk about exactly what we're talking about over here. Praiseworthy is someone who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, in the path of the sinners does not stand, and in the seat of the scornful does not sit. Now notice there's a progression there in the pasuk. Right? Praiseworthy is someone who does not walk with the advice of Rishayim, doesn't stand with sinners, and does not sit with leitzim, with people who don't take anything seriously. And says Ramchal, right, as Chazal already explained, the Gemara says, what's the progression of the Pasuk, right, Gemara Avodah Zarah? If a person starts walking with Rishayim, it's very possible that they will stand with them, and then it's very possible that they will eventually sit with them. Right? There's a progression over here, meaning that be careful who you hang out with. And a person eventually will be drawn in, right? Even if you're just walking with them, even if it's just casual conversation, you have to be very careful. Now, how do you define people they have to stay away from? So the Rambam, you know, as I mentioned in Hilchos Deos, defines them as holchei b'choshech, people who are walking in the darkness. The Ramchal defines it a little bit differently. I'm on page Lamed Vav. First paragraph over there. In lo da'al de'melo tari l'nikanos atzmo, a person has to purify himself. V'limnoa raglov, and to refrain from walking from midarche ha'hamon ha'shekuim behevle azman. That literally means stay away from the masses who are stuck in the hevel, in the nonsense of the times. Right? People who are steeped in the vanity or the foolish things of the time. Realize what that means is, and it may sound harsh, but it means that your friend, who is wonderful, but is obsessed with Real Housewives of God knows where, Sri Lanka, or this social media, or that awards show, or whatever stupid politics is going on, I'm sure she's wonderful, but she is not healthy for you spiritually, right? And just be careful and be aware of who you're spending time with. If you have no one to spend time with, talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's weird. But if you got no one else, again, it used to be weird to walk around talking to yourself. Now you can just put in an AirPod and no one will think any difference. Again, it sounds ridiculous, but if you have no people at the moment in time who are healthy influences, so talk to Kosh Baruch Hu. Now, obviously that's a little bit extreme. Take it if you want. But he says over here, you have to be a little extreme. Right? You have to be a little bit of bold. Right? A person has to be a little bit of boldness, a little bit of chutzpahdik. Right? Because if you're going to make fun of, says Ramchal, you should give it back. Right? If you're going to get made fun of for being frum, so make fun of them for not being frum. Now, that, I don't know if that actually will work, and that's probably not a great idea socially, but at least in your head, right, you should certainly, right, be prepared to say, hey, to stand up for what you're thinking, right? Even in Ram Chal's day, right, the same girls coming back from Eretz Yisrael getting made fun of the girls back in the shtetl, right? You gotta be able to stand up to them and be ready that to say, listen, you do you, I'll do me. Right? It says Ram Chal, if there was money at stake, right, if there was a huge monetary prize at stake, you would obviously ignore the people who were laughing at you, and you'd run after the money. So how much more so the ultimate prize that we're talking about? Right? This is the beginning of, if you ever read the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, a person has to be Uz Kanamer, right? Don't be afraid to be Uz, to be bold. Right? If you were in med school, right, and your friend said you wanted to go out Saturday night, and you said, I had a test, I got to study, everybody would be fine with it. So the same is true of Frumkeit, right? You have a shir to go to, you have a party to miss, you have whatever, you can't make it. And again, think about this. Rav Miller, again, my rabbi, made a brilliant insight. He says, after all, think about it like this. Your friends making fun of you doesn't reflect on what you're doing. It only reflects on the way they view what you're doing. Again, I'll say it again. When your friends make fun of you for what you're doing, it doesn't reflect on what you're doing. You're still doing the right thing. All it does is reflects on what they think of what you're doing. So that has no bearing on you. Right? You keep on doing you. You do what's right. And unfortunately, they're going to make fun of that because they are lacking. They're missing the boat. Right? And don't be shy about it. Be proud about it. Right? But he says over here, the Ramchal writes in the last paragraph, that David HaMelech was not embarrassed to talk about holy matters with other kings, even though other kings were talking about, God knows what, taxes, wars, women, etc. David had self-confidence. He had discerned the truth. He had figured out what's MS. Why shouldn't he be proud about it? Why shouldn't he talk about it? And I think, and just to finish up, we'll finish on this note, this is a super inyan. Right? If you've ever wondered, I noticed this not while I was in school, but a little bit afterwards. Who is cool? Which kids are cool in school, right, when you're growing up? But yes, there are obviously the stereotypes, the pretty girl, the good athlete, etc. But sometimes, and everybody could probably think of somebody that they're friends with, sometimes there's a kid who everyone likes, right? Kid wears plaid skirts or pants, whatever. Maybe he wears like that Kangoo hat, you know what I'm talking about? Like the Samuel L. Jackson hat. Right? He's got thick square glasses. Everybody can picture somebody like this, right? They are the coolest dude. And yet they don't look like anybody else. Why are they cool? Because they're self-confident, right? They're comfortable in their own skin, right? People are attracted to people who are real. So that's what we have. We've discovered the MS, the best way to live your life. So why shouldn't you pimp it? That didn't come out right. I probably should stop saying that. All right, whatever. Anyway, I don't think I say it too often, but anyway. Tachlis, you shouldn't be any less confident than the next girl. What you're involved in is objectively much more important than whatever stupid topic and conversation is going on in the next room. So again, we're not all on David's level that we could go walk around a gathering of kings and queens and talk about a Kosh Baruch Hu, but something to strive for, right? That we have discovered the MS, right? You have a cheshbon and nefesh. We are zohir. We are careful, and that's something to be proud of. That you're on the right derech. Okay, that is the end of Perek Hey. And Mezah Shem, next week we'll go on to Perek Vav. Perek Vav is Zrizus, which is not the same as Zahirus. Zrizus is being, well, we'll talk about it next week, I guess. But that is, well, hopefully maybe we'll give it a rundown, just not right now, but maybe next week we'll give Zahirus a rundown. Bottom line, Cheshbon HaNefesh, right? Using Torah as your anchor, take stock of where you're going in this world. Make sure you think about it, right? Run away from people and physicality that will stop you from thinking about your life. Run away from making everything a joke. Again, you could be besimcha, but make sure you have the proper focus and seriousness when dealing and thinking about your own life. After all, it is your life, and it is the most important thing in life. So certainly, we would take it seriously when it's talking. We were talking about some sort of pursuit for money. How much more so a pursuit for spirituality? Okay, shkoyach everybody. Thanks for hanging out. I will be in touch. Good to see you guys.